Salutations, friends, and welcome back as we gather again around the old part of the radio and take a trip back to the days when you listened to your favorite program instead of watching it. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I'm glad you are able to join me yet again. Today I'm bringing you three great juvenile episodes which some of you may remember from your childhood years. I'm going to start off with an episode of Little Orphan Annie, one of the earliest and perhaps one of the most famous juvenile series, next to The Lone Ranger and The Green Hornet. Little Orphan Annie was based on a comic strip by Harold Gray and was the first late afternoon children's serial on radio. It began in 1930 on WGN in Chicago, but was aired nationwide from April 6, 1931 until April 26, 1942, first on NBC Blue and later on Mutual. From 1931 until 1940, the series is sponsored by Ovaltine and stars Shirley Bell as Annie, who was 10 years old when she first appeared in that role. Today's episode, from Wednesday, November 20th, 1940, is titled Following Angeline Carmometti. Let's join our little red-headed heroine on this adventure.
I wonder what Annie hopes to find out by following Angelina Carmometti. It certainly is thrilling. And say, wasn't that exciting news we heard last time about Orphan Annie's new identification bureau? Yes, sir. Every one of you boys and girls can get in on it and get a keen-looking identification tag and chain for your very own. And so, if you missed hearing about it, listen hard now, because, boy, oh boy, you certainly want this keen-looking, oval-shaped identification tag and automatic fitting chain for your wrist like soldiers and aviators wear. It's shining gold color victory metal. Solid victory metal, so rich and valuable looking, nobody can miss seeing it when you wear it. There's a beautiful American flag on the front, and best of all, right above the flag, we're going to put your initial to show it's your property. The letter that stands for your own name. But wait till you see the other side. It has your official identification number stamped right into the metal. And remember, nobody else will have a number like yours. Because the big idea is that everybody gets a different number that's going to be registered with your name and address at the headquarters of Annie's Identification Bureau in Chicago. And then, if there's an emergency or any boy or girl gets lost, people can send into the headquarters and find out the name and address that matches up with the number on any Orphan Annie identification tag. And so it's useful. As well as so wonderful looking, you'll have everybody crowding around to see it. You can't buy these identification tags in the stores. They're made up just for Annie's friends, because she wants you to try the new 1940 chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. It's even better than last year's chocolate-flavored Ovaltine, with a new creamy, chocolatey flavor. And it's better for you besides. Has more of those valuable vitamins and minerals in it. And so, you certainly want to try this new treat and send for your personal identification tag as fast as you can. Now, all you do is this. Print the initial you want on your tag and your name and address plainly on a piece of paper. Then, send it to Annie with a dime wrapped in all of a metal foil seal from under the lid of a can of the new 1940 chocolate-flavored Ovaltine, or plain Ovaltine. But remember, Annie especially wants you to try new, improved, chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. You send your letter to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. All straight? You send the initial you want, your printed name and address, and a dime wrapped in a seal from new, chocolate-flavored Ovaltine, or plain Ovaltine, to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. And then Annie sends you your keen-looking automatic-fitting identification tag and chain as fast as she can. Boy, don't waste a minute sending for yours. And now, today's adventure with Annie. A bomb has destroyed part of the town hall in Sunfield, and that mysterious gang of boys known as the Black Jackets is suspected of having set off the bomb. However, Annie doesn't believe they did it. And last time, she and Joe set out to trail a woman who Annie felt sure would lead them to the persons who are really guilty. And now, we find Annie and Joe still cautiously following the woman along one of the back streets of the town. Listen.
Look out, Joe.
Uh-huh.
She's turning around to look back again. Let's stop and pretend we're interested in this door window.
All right. But this is about the fifth time we've had to stop and look in windows. You think she suspects we're following her?
No, I think she's just being careful. We wouldn't have to be so particular about keeping out of her sight if we were complete strangers to her. But if she caught sight of us now, she'd know we were the two kids she met back there in the mayor's office.
Oh, sure, she'd recognize us all right.
You bet she would. Oh, we better be moving along again. She's getting pretty far ahead of us.
All right, let's go.
I think we're safe from attracting her attention as long as we stay on this side of the street and she stays on that side. And we keep about a half a block behind her.
Well, where do you figure she... Oh, look. She's turning into that place right there on the corner of Pepper Street.
So she is. Golly, that's great. That's just what I was hoping for.
You mean you were hoping that she'd turn into that particular place?
No. No, I don't know anything about the place, but don't you see? It's a cafe of some kind. That means 9 chances out of 10 that she's going to meet somebody in there.
So she's going to meet somebody. Then what?
Well, that woman tried to make us think that some boys, meaning the Black Jackets, did that bombing. And that makes me think she was trying to throw suspicion away from the people who really did it. And it makes me think that she's connected with the people who really did it.
Yeah, but why?
And if I don't miss my guess, she's meeting with one or more of them in that cafe right now.
Okay. Hey, but we better slow down or something. We're right across the street from the place.
I know. Let's cross the street. There's nothing to do now but walk right in there and see what we can see.
I hope you're noticing that this is a mighty tough-looking cafe.
Yeah, from the outside, it's about as bad a place as you'll find in Sunfield. But we can't let that scare us.
Take a look at the name of it, too. The Black Cat Cafe. Rocco Roberto, proprietor. I don't much like that. Black cats stand for bad luck.
Oh, that's nonsense, Joe, and you know it.
Well, I don't like the proprietor's name either. Rocco Roberto. Sounds like an international spy or a member of the Black Hand.
Wait a minute, Joe. There's somebody coming out. Let's just wait behind this parked car till we see who it is.
Okay.
We can peek through the rear window of the car without being noticed ourselves.
Yeah. Hey, it's the woman, all right.
Lizards, it is. And there's a man with her. This is going to save us the trouble of going in that place.
Yeah, but what if they come past here and see us crouching behind this car?
They're not coming past here. They're... Quick, Gulliver. They're going to get into that car, parked right in front of this one.
Well, that's a break for us.
What do you mean it's a break for us?
It's a break that they're not getting into the one we're hiding behind.
It's a bad break for us that they're getting into any car. I hadn't counted on that.
Does that upset your plan?
Of course it does, Joe. How are we going to follow him now?
Well, I wouldn't know. But now that the subject's come up, I'm surprised she didn't get into a car long before this.
Well, I thought of the possibility that she might. But after she'd walked 4 or 5 blocks, I figured we didn't have to worry anymore about that.
Well, there they go, in a big black sedan. And a mighty fancy-looking one, too.
Oh, golly, think, Joe. Think of something to do. We can't let him get away from us like this.
I don't see how we can prevent it. We can't chase him on foot.
Well, of course not. But...
maybe we shouldn't have tackled this job of trailing that woman all by ourselves. I still don't see why we couldn't have had the chief send one of his men with us.
The chief believed her story, Joe. He thought she was on the level. If we waited to convince him that she wasn't, she'd have been gone before we could have got on her trail.
Well, I guess there's something in that. But if we had a policeman with us, he could commandeer any car along the street here and we could follow that sedan.
Well, we haven't any policeman with us. We're all by ourselves and we'd let a swell lead on that bomb and get away from us. I'll bet you anything we'd have that crime practically solved if... Oh, suffering sunfish. We even forgot to notice the license number of the sedan.
Hey, look what's coming here. A taxi.
Oh, golly, so it is. And empty, too.
But this is luck. There aren't more than half a dozen taxis in the whole town.
I'll say it's luck. Hey there.
Do you want a cab?
You bet we do. Come on, Joe, pile in. It's lucky the mayor gave us some expense money.
I'll say. Turn right here at the corner, driver, north on Pepper Street. There's a black sedan someplace up there ahead of us, and we want you to follow it.
The sedan has a big start on us, so you'll have to go like the wind if we're to catch him. And we gotta catch him. It's terribly important.
Okay. I'll do my best.
There it is, driver. See it? About 3 blocks down the street.
I got my eye on it. You want me to catch up with him, is that it?
No, don't catch up with him. Get within about a block of them and then just follow them.
Okay.
Say, Joe, do you notice where we're going? Pepper Street turns off into the old North Road up there. If we keep going this way, we'll be heading out of town right past that old house.
Yeah, right past the Black Jackets headquarters.
Black Jackets. Black Cat Cafe. Hmm. That's kind of strange. Say, what do you know about that cafe back there, Mr. Cab Driver? That Black Cat Cafe.
Well, I can't say as I know anything about it. I've never been in there.
But you must be pretty well acquainted in this town, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I know most parts of this town as well as I know my own family. But that Black Cat place has always been kind of mysterious. Hardly ever see anybody going in or out of the place. And when you do, they're strangers.
Well, do you know Rocco Roberto that runs it?
Nah, wouldn't know him if I saw him.
Keep right after that sedan, driver. We're gaining on it.
Yeah, it won't take us long to catch him at this rate.
This is likely to be a long chase, Annie. They might be on their way to another town.
Well, that's possible.
How far are we going to follow them?
Well, we can't follow them to New York City or anything like that. But we'll keep after them long enough to get their license number anyhow.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, here we go past the town limits already. And there's the old house up there on the hill.
Yeah. The black sedan is passing it right now.
Yeah. We're close enough to them now, driver.
Hey, just jumping, Jenny. They're not passing the old house. They're slowing down.
Sleeping lizards, they are.
They're stopping there.
No, what? Turn into the side road, driver. Quick. Swing around the corner here and stop.
Yes, ma'am.
Boy, that sure took us by surprise.
Yeah, a few yards farther and we wouldn't have had any place to turn off the main road. And then they'd have seen us for sure.
Well, we're all right now, though. This hedge that runs along here will shield the cab from being seen.
Yeah, but it keeps us from seeing, too. Come on, let's get out.
Just let the meter run, driver. We'll want you to take us back to town.
Okay.
Let's climb up here to the top of the bank where we can peek over the hedge.
Yeah, we'll get a good view of the old house from there.
This chase is getting more mysterious by the minute. That woman tried to throw suspicion on the Black Jackets. Now she and that man are driving right up to what we believe is the Black Jackets headquarters.
It sure doesn't make sense. Hey, look. The woman and the man are walking up the path toward the house.
Yes, sir. That's just what they're doing. They're walking right up to the door of the old house and
they're going right in.
Great Gulliver. Walking right in without knocking or anything. Just as though they lived there.
Well, this sure beats me. Maybe that old house isn't the Black Jackets headquarters after all. But who are the boys Lieutenant Bushmill saw going in there? And who threw the rocks at us when we tried to go into the place?
I don't know any of the answers, Joe. But there's certainly something awfully strange going on. Well, I think we've done as much as we can by ourselves.
But what do we do next?
Call up Chief Bailey. He's been itching to raid that old house. Well, the time has come to do it. And the sooner, the better.
Say, Annie and Joe had figured that woman to be an enemy of the Black Jackets. And yet she and that man have gone into what we all thought was the Black Jackets' headquarters. What in the world does it mean? And don't forget, here's the way to get your beautiful personal identification tag and chain. Just print the initial you want on your tag and your name and address on a piece of paper. Then send it with a dime wrapped in a metal foil seal from under the lid of a can of the new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine or plain Ovaltine. And send it to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. All straight? Get busy right away. Now, this offer is good in the United States only. Well, Annie is going to call Chief Bailey and tell him to go ahead with his raid on that old house. Tomorrow's adventure is sure to be an exciting one. Now, don't miss it. Until tomorrow, this is Pierre André saying goodbye.
Wasn't that a wonderful story? I always enjoy listening to Little Orphan Annie, not only for the fun adventures the characters experience, but also for the innocence that is lacking in today's children's programs. The episode you just heard was titled Following Angeline Carmometti and was first broadcast on November 20, 1940 on the Mutual Network. I am not sure if the broadcast date is correct, although a few sources do seem to validate the date I have listed. However, according to John Dunning's book, On the Air, the Encyclopedia of Old-Time Radio, Ovaltine stopped sponsoring this series in January of 1940, yet the episode clearly contained an Ovaltine advertisement that gave a year of 1940. Anyway, we're going to hear another episode of Little Orphan Annie. This next episode is from an unknown air date in 1936 and stars Shirley Bell as Annie and Stanley Andrews as Oliver Daddy Warbucks. It's titled Daddy Warbucks Hears Radio Signals. Enjoy.
The little chatterbox, the one with pretty auburn locks. Whom do you see? It's Little Orphan Annie. She and Sandy make a pair. They never seem to have a care. Cute little she, this Little Orphan Annie. Bright eyes, cheeks of rosy glow. There's a store of healthiness handy. Might size always on the go. If you want to know, aren't says Sandy. Always wear the sunny smile. Now wouldn't it be worth a while if you could be like Little Orphan Annie.
Here we are, around to Orphan Annie time again. But before we join Annie, I have a mighty good tip I want to pass along to you. When you come home from school on hot days, all tired and dragged out, here's one sure way to get cooled off and full of pep and go again. Make yourself a big, delicious, ice-cold Ovaltine shake-up. Yes, sir. As soon as you come home from school every afternoon, just take out your Orphan Annie shake-up mug or an ordinary plain glass mason jar, put in fresh milk, then some cracked ice. Then add plenty of swell new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. Now, that's all you put in. Then shake it up for all you're worth. The more you shake it, the creamier and richer and colder it gets. And boy, oh boy, when you pour it out, it's so frosty and delicious with all those big, sweet, chocolatey bubbles foaming and bursting on top, you'll just want to drink about a barrel full. But that's only half the story. Remember, besides tasting like a million, Ovaltine shake-ups are just grand to help pep you up and take away that tired and dragged out feeling. Now that's because all those special things in chocolate-flavored Ovaltine help to build up pep and energy quickly. The kind of pep you need to be right up on your toes and feeling tip-top for all the games you play. And so, if you don't have chocolate-flavored Ovaltine at home now, ask your mother to get you a can at her grocery or drugstore right away, so you'll be all set to make those swell-tasting shake-ups that are so good for you every single afternoon when you come home from school. But now, tonight's Thursday night and club night again for all you members of Annie's Secret Society. And right after tonight's adventure is over, we're going to broadcast an important secret message in Annie's mystery radio code. So keep listening. And now, getting back to Annie. Last time, Saunders, who seems to know jewelry, pronounced the glittering stones on Annie and Joe's feather cloaks to be genuine diamonds. But vast riches mean nothing on that lost island. Here it is, several days later now, our friends have finished their radio transmission set, and for 3 days, Mr. Wilcox, Annie, and Joe have been operating it, hoping against hope that it's sending feeble signals to the outside world. But here they are in their palm house, and Joe is operating the set. Listen.
Am I doing this right, Bud?
Perfectly, Joe. 2 revolutions of the wheel every 15 seconds.
It's a good thing we got Mr. Silo's watch back from Saunders. We can send out these signals on exact time.
Yeah, I'm keeping my eye on the second hand of the watch right now.
Saunders surely hated to part with that watch, didn't he?
I'll say he did. But he's more excited about the diamonds now than about gold.
There. Shucks, do you suppose there really are diamonds on this island, Bud?
Don't know, Joe. Of course, I wouldn't trust Saunders as far as I could throw a grand piano. But the man seems to know something about diamonds.
I'll say. He admitted he dealt in stolen and smuggled ones all over the world.
Yes, he knows something about them, all right. But before I went head over heels on these, I'd have the opinion of a good jeweler or chemist.
Leaping lizards, what difference does it make anyhow? We can't use the diamonds.
Not here, Annie, not in 1,000 years. If we could live that long on this island. As Binnacle Bob said, a loaf of bread would be of more use to us. But just the same, if these stones that the natives wear so freely in their ears and hair are diamonds...
You getting excited about them too, Mr. Wilcox?
Yes, Annie, I'm afraid I am. There's probably a little bit of the Saunders in all of us. I can't help thinking, well, I'm a young man. If we ever are rescued from this island, well, it would be mighty nice to be able to go back to my England, rich. Oh, there I go. Like Saunders, dreaming dreams of riches back in civilization. Sorry, it won't happen again.
It's all right, Bud. But, leaping lizards, do you suppose this set is going to do anything for us? Here we've been working it for 3 days now. Do you suppose any sound we're sending is getting anywhere?
I hope so, Annie. But I can't guarantee it. After all, I've only done the best I could. With more things and material to work with, I think I might have made a transmission set that we could speak over, or at least one on which we could send Morse code, actual signals and telegraph. As it is, this will have to do, for it's the best I can do.
The what show?
Shush, yeah.
Turning that crank and wheel, Mr. Wilcox, like Joe's doing, what does it really do?
It puts electric waves in operation, Annie. Or I hope it does. And those waves should interfere with normal wireless communication on the Pacific and on its shores, so that sooner or later someone in some wireless station is going to begin to wonder where these strange sounds we're making on the air are coming from.
Shucks, what sound?
They don't sound like much to us, Joe, but on a receiving set.
Wait a minute. Okay, go ahead, Bud.
On a receiving set, they'll make quite a commotion. It should make the waves we're sending out from here a loud whining sound. Rather like the wind howling around a roof on a blustery night. Only anyone who hears them will know they're not static.
Why?
Because they come regularly. Don't you see? That's the reason we've been sending out our calls 15 seconds apart. Regular. For the last 3 days now, we've been working this set of ours for 15 minutes every hour. And if we have a strong enough generator here, and our waves really are getting out into the ether, by this time, some ship in the Pacific, or perhaps some powerful land station, has heard them, coming at regular intervals. And if they have, you can bet they're wondering about them.
Say, do you suppose this homemade transmission radio set of Annie's on her unknown island really is getting results? They have no way of telling, but Wilcox isn't too confident of it, though he did the best work he could, and each hour our friends sent off their frantic signals. But now, we're going thousands of miles away, across the great Pacific, to the port of Valparaiso on the coast of Chile in South America. Last time we were there, we met Daddy Warbucks with his friends, Bill Darch and Captain Taffrail, on the Falcon. Mr. Warbucks was just about ready to give up the search for his Annie, but he asked his friends to grant him one more week. The week was up today, but just as the Falcon was about to weigh anchor, a representative of the government of Chile, and Mr. Warbucks has been working with all governments of South America in his frantic search for Annie, came to the yacht with a story of mysterious radio signals which the big government station at Valparaiso had been receiving. And here now, in an automobile, driving swiftly to the big radio station, is Mr. Warbucks, Darch, and Captain Taffrail with the messenger. And listen, Mr. Warbucks is talking.
Didn't I tell you, fellas? Didn't I tell you?
Now, Oliver, take it easy, old man. Take it easy.
Listen, if there's a ray of hope, a single ray...
Now, don't get your heart set on this, old-timer. Just because this radio station here in Chile has been getting queer calls, you...
Queer? I'll say they're queer. From what Senor Gomez here says, why, it might be my Annie sending out these calls. It might be...
Easy, Oliver. By the sea, we stayed here with you for a week.
Yes, a week. And what do we get? Our first leading clue.
But don't get your hopes up too high. Senor Gomez here merely came to us...
Si, senor. On orders. From Senor Carranza, head of the Radio Bureau of Chile. Si. Queer signals he has received by air. And acting on orders from El Presidente...
My request.
I was sent to summon you. Si. And here we are. Senors, the great radio station of my country.
Well, come on.
We're with you, Oliver. But please don't hope for too much.
Okay, Bill. I've got a hold of myself. Let's go inside.
This way, senors. Ah, Senor Carranza.
Gomez.
I have brought them, senor, according to order.
Si. Which one of you senors is Senor Warbucks?
I am.
Very well. Senor, I was ordered by El Presidente to report to you, senor.
Right. Well, what is it?
I am not sure, senor. Nor do I know the whys and wherefores of my orders. Nevertheless, I was ordered to report to you that... We, in our radio station here, have been receiving strange signals.
Signals, senor?
Not signals, exactly. but our communication with shore stations and with ships at sea has been interfered with by strange waves and sounds, which in all my experience I have never met with here before.
Amy, now just a second, Oliver. I don't want to throw cold water on anything, but just because...
Amy! Easy, Oliver. By the sea, this doesn't mean...
Gentlemen, I have my own ideas regarding this. I'm not a stubborn man, but I can't help the feel in my heart that... Senor Carranza.
Si, senor.
Can we hear these signals that you picked up?
Oh, si, senor. But they amount to nothing. Merely an interference with our normal communication.
I told you so, Oliver.
Just the same, let's hear them.
Very easy, mis amigos. For 15 minutes of each hour for the past 3 days, we have heard the sound. It is the time now. Juan.
Si, senor.
Put power on. We wish to hear these sounds which come to us from somewhere every 15 seconds.
Si.
Now, but listen now, mes amigos. Any second and you... There it is, my friends.
Great guns. You mean you've heard this for 3 days now?
Si, senor. Every hour. For 15 minutes at 15 second intervals. In a moment you will hear it again, senor.
No idea where it comes from?
No, senor. This is new to us. Ever since I have been in charge of this station, never have I seen...
Great guns? Then it must be...
Oliver, I...
Now, Bill, I'm sure of it in my heart. I may be an old fool, but I believe this signal is coming from Annie. Maybe I'm not being strictly reasonable in this. That sound might be caused by any one of 1,000 different things. But I believe it's coming from Annie. And now, I won't quit in my job here until I find out if it is coming from her.
Say, did you hear that? Annie's signals are coming through. But will Daddy Warbucks ever be able to follow up that weird, helpless signal, which can give him no directions as to where he can find Annie's lost island? And now, tonight's club night, so all you members of Annie's Secret Society, attention, please, for an important secret message in Annie's Mystery Radio Code. Get your pencils ready, and here's the special code key for tonight. It's number 17. Have you got that? Number 17 is the special code key for tonight's secret message. And now, here's the message itself. First word, 2, 13, 22, 14, 9, 13. Second word, 24, 19, 13, 13, 15, 13. Third word, 5, 15, 14, 25, 25, 1, 25, 4. Fourth word, 14, 25, 10, 19, 12, 13, 9. And now the fifth and last word. 9, 14, 1, 11. That's all, and that was another important secret message in Annie's Mystery Radio Code. So all you club members, set your telematic decoder pins for the number 17 code as I told you, and you'll have the whole thing figured out automatically, quick as a wink. And say, if you're missing out on the fun of decoding these secret messages from Annie, don't forget, you can still join her secret society free if you try new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. Now, all you do is print your name and address plainly on a piece of paper. Then, mail it in together with all of the special gold-colored seal that you can find only underneath the lid of a can of new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. Mail it to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. So ask your mother to get you new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine so you can send in the gold-colored seal for your membership right away. And then Annie will send you her official telematic decoder pin and the big book of club secrets just as fast as she can. And everybody wants to be here right on time tomorrow to see if Daddy can find some way of tracing Annie now that he's heard their feeble radio signals. Until tomorrow then, goodbye.
Thank you.
enjoyed that last Little Orphan Annie episode. The story was titled Daddy Warbucks Hears Radio Signals and was first heard on an unknown date in 1936. I'm going to switch gears a bit now and play a juvenile western series for you, which I think you will enjoy. The Cisco Kid aired on Mutual Network from October 2, 1942 until Valentine's Day of 1945 and was then heard in transcribed syndication on various networks between 1946 and 1956. The old-time radio download site Rust.com describes the Cisco Kid as being much alike the B-Western movies that were popular at the time, complete with cheesy Mexican accents. The Cisco Kid was like the Robin Hood of the Wild West, relieving the rich of their, quote, heavy burdens, although not always giving them to the poor. His loyal but simple companion was Poncho. Jack Mather played the role of Cisco, and Harry Lang played Poncho. Today's episode is titled Murder at the Payroll Office and was first heard on Tuesday, October 26, 1954. Let's roll the tape.
Here's adventure. Here's romance. Here's the famous Robin Hood of the Old West.
Cisco, the sheriff, he's getting closer.
This way, Pancho Vamano.
The Cisco Kid. Cisco Kid in our gripping story, Murder at the Payroll Office. The payroll office of the White River Mines Company was a perfect sitting duck for holdup men. It was on the edge of the town of Two Forks, immediately next to the Big Canyon country, so that any bandits who struck could be out of sight of pursuit in a moment. Big, brutal Corey Payson knew this. So did his henchman, Hall James. As our story opens, the two bandits and their gang are riding down from the hills, nearing the payroll office.
When was that gold due to come in from the mines, Corey?
A little over half an hour ago. And now they just about have it packed up to go east.
Who's inside that office?
There's a clerk and a girl who helps them, and then there's that old watchman, Tim Hannibal.
Yeah, they won't make no trouble.
I don't figure they will, Hall. Some of them hombres who brought in the pack animals may be around. But you better stay outside on the job and hold the horses. And keep your eyes open.
Right, but look, Corey.
I'm running this. You do as I say. Get your masks on, boys.
Yeah, sure. No point in my putting a mask on where I'm staying outside. Bless it all.
All right. There's a shack just ahead of us. Shorty, you and Sig and Moe, come with me. Here, take the reins of my horse, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, boys. Draw your gun. Nobody around except them in the office. All right. Get them up, the three of you.
Hey, what's all this?
Get them up. I said and keep them up. Back up to the wall, miss. You too, Hannibal.
It's a holdup.
That's right. Clerk, which of these boxes is that gold in?
Well, that's none of your blasted business.
That settles your hash, mister.
No.
Look at them boxes, boys. Quick. Grab the ones with the gold.
Don't seem there was any need of gunning him down, mister.
Keep your trap shut or you'll get it, too. Come on, boys, let's go. I'll take them guns of yours, Gaffer. And I'll stay in this shack for 5 minutes. The both of you.
I've got to sit down.
Well, go ahead, Miss Annie. Coyotes.
And they got away with all the gold.
Yeah, but you and I both got a good look at that hombre holding the horses.
That's right. He didn't have on a mask.
Yeah, that head bandit didn't realize he made his back right over by the window. Come on, Miss Anna. We'll describe him to the sheriff.
They got away with all of it, huh, Tim?
Every blame bit, Sheriff.
And they killed the clerk.
Yeah, so Tim said, Miss Anna.
Yeah, not only that, they...
Whoa, Tim, hold your horses. I want to write all this information down. I ain't quick at remembering. Killed clerk. How many of them?
Yeah, well, there was five. Four.
Four in the office, Sheriff. All of them masked.
Four masked.
Yes, and there was one outside holding the horses.
Masked?
No.
Could you tell him if you saw him again?
I'm sure I could, Sheriff.
Yeah, me too. He was a pretty big man, broad-shouldered. I'd say he was mighty nice looking, wouldn't you, Miss Anna?
He didn't look very nice to me just then.
Well, I know,
well,
but...
Well, yes, I suppose you would call him nice looking.
All right. You give me a full description of him, and then I'll get a posse out and track them buzzards down.
Chico.
Si, Pancho.
In this a new country we ride.
Si, amigo.
We not know no one in this country, no?
Oh, as far as I know, Pancho, we do not know a soul in this country.
Not know no sheriffs, neither.
No, we do not know any sheriffs.
Pancho think that good, Cisco. Sheriffs not be after Cisco and Pancho.
Sheriffs are not always after us, Chico.
Nee.
Especially after they learn we are law-abiding.
The law-abiding? Anyway, it's good to see a new country and no sheriffs.
Well, unless I am mistaken, Pancho, there is a sheriff's posse coming this way now.
Sheriff's posse?
Si.
Pancho see a star flash in the sunlight.
Buenos dias, señor sheriff.
Buenos dias, señor sheriff.
Who are you, hombres? What are you doing around here?
Well, to take one question at a time, sheriff, I am called the Cisco Kid, and this is mi compañero, Pancho.
You know the Cisco Kid, sheriff?
Never heard of him.
Huh?
Him, do either of these two look like your man that held the horses?
Yeah, well, the big one does, Sheriff. He's changed his clothes, his gear, and his horses. But he looks like the man.
What man?
All right, then, you two, get your hands up.
Un momento, Sheriff. What is this all about?
Just like all sheriffs, wave the gun, no?
I reckon you know what it's about, hombre. You was with that gang that held up the payroll office this morning.
We were not even in this part of the country this morning.
The more I look at him, Sheriff, the more I'm convinced he's the one.
I said get them hands up.
Si, si, si. Do not get excited, Sheriff. But let me say this. Pancho and I know nothing about any payroll holdup.
We'll talk about this back at my office.
But, Sheriff, you must know about Cisco. Everybody know about Cisco.
Quieto, Pancho.
I tell you, I never heard of him. Get the guns, boys.
We go with him, Cisco?
Si, we will go with him, amigo, if only to clear our names of suspicion.
Not never hear of Cisco. Fine, Sheriff. Never hear of Cisco. Fine, Sheriff.
Keep him covered, Deputy. Into my office now, you two.
Sit, Sheriff.
Yes, Sheriff, not no Cisco, Pancho.
Pancho, that is not important.
It's important to Pancho.
Miss Anna.
Yes?
Can you come over here, please?
I'll be right there, Sheriff.
Senorita, Cisco.
Si, Pancho.
Sound pretty.
You might as well sit down for the time being.
Gracias, Sheriff.
Gracias, Sheriff.
Yes, Sheriff.
You ever see either of these two hombres before, Miss Anna?
No, I don't think. Oh, wait. This one looks like the bandit who was holding the horses.
Would you swear to that in court?
Well, he doesn't look exactly the same,
yeah, well,
but...
he's wearing different clothes, Anna. He had time to change between the time he got away and the time we found him.
Yes, I guess that's it.
Ever see Pancho before, no?
No.
Then you not see Cisco neither, senorita.
You may as well confess, hombre.
We have nothing to confess. From what you said on the way in here, I now understand the story. And I repeat, Pancho and I were nowhere around.
I guess Tim and Miss Anna know what they're talking about. They lived around here all their lives.
Yes, sir. Anna's the daughter of the storekeeper, and he's the most honest fella.
You don't need to go into that, Tim. We all know it. I'm arresting you two on suspicion of robbery and murder.
No, I do not think so, Senor Sheriff.
What's that?
It is evident that the hombre you want looks like me, but I am not the one. I do not blame the senorita for her testimony, but at the same time...
Watch what I am not going to jail.
Not to the jail!
That boy!
That will not be as easy as you think.
Pancho, get the deputy, Sheriff Cisco. Pancho, kick the deputy's feet from under him. He go down, boom, Cisco.
Do not enter. Look at him, Pancho. Let's get out of here.
We got no guns, Cisco.
Never mind the guns. Come on.
Bless them coyotes, boys.
To your horse, Pancho.
To your horse.
Up on them, boys.
Go, Lagona, go.
Why in blazes didn't you tell me before, Hall?
Oh, I didn't think of it, Corey. I didn't figure it was important.
But you must have seen old Hannibal looking out the window at you.
Oh, I didn't pay no attention to him.
He probably paid plenty of attention to you. Chances are by now he's turned in a complete description of you to the sheriff.
Well, we're going in to gun him down, ain't we? So he won't do no more talking.
Thing is what he's already said. There he is up ahead of us. Just going into his house.
Come on. Who's going to do the gunning down, Corey?
Both of us. Hey, Hannibal.
What do you want?
Wait a minute. We want to talk to you. All right. Throw your gun off.
Here.
Say, what do you hombres look like? Well, by thunder, you are the one. I made a mistake.
You sure did when you looked out that window. Let him have it, Hall. No, he won't do no more talking.
Hey, what's that shooting over there? Come on, deputy.
Yeah. Let's get out of here quick.
Yeah, before they see us. Yeah.
By thunder, it's old Tim. He's been shot.
But who shot him?
I know. It was that hombre calls himself a Cisco Kid. We'll get even for this, deputy. We'll get a posse together and give him orders to shoot to kill.
Cisco track the hombre, Cisco?
Sí, the tracks go this way, Pancho.
Uh-huh.
That is where the hoof of one of their horses turned over a stone. The earth is still moist beneath it.
How'd you know this gang of bandidos, Cisco?
All I have to go by is what the sheriff told us of the holdup.
Uh-huh.
He said there were five in that gang and five rode this way.
Five hombres.
And these tracks lead from that payroll shack he told us about.
We take a big chance to go back and pick up the tracks, Cisco.
Sí, we took a chance, but no one saw us. We must find those bandidos, Pancho, in order to clear ourselves.
Cisco, find them.
Wait. Hold up. Hold.
Oh, look. Wait. What, Cisco? What?
There's smoke up in the canyon ahead of us, Chico. I imagine the smoke of a campfire.
Pancho, hungry, Cisco.
Pancho, right now we must think of other things than food.
Pancho, that can help but think of food, Cisco, when Pancho hungry.
Quieto. I believe those bandidos are camped up there ahead of us. Let us leave our horses here, Pancho, and go up there on foot.
Si, on the foot.
Bandidos are just ahead of us. Now make no noise.
No noise, Cisco.
This is not good. This pocket of land right here.
Why it not good?
Because if any of the bandidos should be below us, and we were caught here, the only way of escape would be to leap from that ledge across the arroyo. And the arroyo is deep.
Big jump too, Cisco.
Si. They are just ahead of us. Mm-hmm. Just over that bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful of these rocks now, Pancho. If you slip on one, the noise will arouse those hombres up ahead.
Pancho not slip, Cisco. Pancho slip, Cisco. Pancho.
Madre mia, now you have done it.
What's that noise?
Come on, we'll have a look.
Hop on your feet quickly, Pancho. We must get back to our horses.
Pancho, sorry, Cisco. Pancho, let's see the loose rock.
Never mind, it could not be helped.
There's a couple of hombres down there. Fire on them, boys. Run.
This way, Pancho.
This way, Cisco.
No, no, wait.
Huh?
Look below us, amigo.
Those hombres shooting at us, Cisco.
That is the sheriff and his posse. Santos, now what will we do? We are caught between two fires with no chance of escape.
Caught between two fires with not even a gun to defend themselves. In just a moment, we'll return to the Cisco Kid. Now back to the Cisco Kid and our exciting story, Murder at the Payroll Office. Because he bore a close resemblance to one of the bandits who held up the payroll office of the White River Mines Company and killed the clerk, the Cisco Kid, together with his faithful companion Pancho, was arrested. Escaping, Cisco and Pancho took up the trail of the bandits. But just as they neared the bandits' camp, Pancho slipped on a loose rock and fell. At once, the outlaws opened fire. Then, as our friends started to fall back, the sheriff and his posse rode up from the opposite direction and also opened fire. Now...
Down, Pancho. Down flat. These rocks will give us some protection.
But what those hombres do when they find out we got no guns, Cisco?
That is just what I am wondering, amigo.
Maybe the sheriff knows those bandidos up above, no?
Whether he knows it or not, he is firing at us and not at them.
That bullet make a hole in Pancho's sombrero, Cisco.
See, this is getting too hot for comfort. Our one chance, Pancho, is to jump over that arroyo to the ledge beyond.
But we not can jump that, Cisco.
We cannot, but I think our horses can.
Diablo! Lolo!
It's a long jump for horses, Cisco.
We must take a chance, Chico. Up, Diablo, come on.
Go, Logo. Make the jump, Logo.
Diablo, ha, ha, ha.
Go, Logo, go, go, go.
Now, Diablo. Up, over, ha.
Logo, jump good, Logo.
Wait out, Diablo.
Good jump, Logo, good jump, no?
Oh, it was a close call, Cisco.
Si, too close, Pancho.
We ride out of the country now?
No, Chico. We are not going to ride out of the country. Not until we prove to that sheriff that we had nothing to do with that robbery and killing.
Where we go now?
We'll make a circle and ride up behind the sheriff and his posse.
But we not got a gun, Cisco.
I'm going to get one, amigo. And then the sheriff will listen to what I have to say.
I'd sure like to know who them galoots are up ahead who are doing all that firing.
Maybe that's the bandit gang, Sheriff.
Well, I was wondering about that myself, Deputy. But I don't believe it is. Otherwise, why would they be shooting at them two that just got away? Wouldn't be shooting at members of their own gang, would they?
Hey, you wouldn't think so.
Well, maybe it's Sheriff Adams and the posse from the next county chased them over here. That ain't likely either.
Yeah. Look out, Sheriff, behind you!
What the... Now, hey! Have your guns here, Sheriff. Suppose you and your men get your hands up.
Where in thunder did you come from?
It was not hard to steal up behind you while you were watching those bandidos up there. Come, get your hands up. All of you, at once.
Take your hands up now, Cisco.
Hey, now, Sheriff, I'm going to tell you something. Those hombres up ahead are the bandidos you want.
You can't pull the wool over my eyes that way, you coyote. I'll get you yet for killing old Tim Hannibal.
Is he the old man who testified against me?
You know blame well he is. That's why you gunned him down.
When did this happen?
About 2 hours ago, as you know.
No, Sheriff, I did not know it until now. Now, here's my plan. Pancho and I will creep up around that bluff and try to take those hombres by surprise.
Yeah, go on.
Will you and your men stay here and keep firing to draw their attention?
Well, sure, anything you say.
You are just a bit too willing, Senor Sheriff, which means the moment you get your hands on your guns, you will start firing at Pancho and me.
That's no good for Pancho.
Now, either you give me your word of honor you will do as I say, or Pancho and I will take the guns from all of you. Quickly, Sheriff. Those bandidos will not stay there forever.
All right. I give you my word.
You will fire at them and not at us?
That's right.
Very well. Then here is one of your guns back, Sheriff. I will need to borrow this one for the time being. Come, Pancho, let us start.
What's going on down there, Hall?
I don't know, Corey. They drew back. I can't see.
You know who they are, don't you?
Well, sure. It's the sheriff and the posse.
Yeah, and they're after us.
But who are the two hombres we were shooting at down that there pocket?
Blessed if I know or care. Most likely there were a couple of scouts for that posse. Yeah. We ain't got to worry none about them anyway. They've gone.
Yeah, better keep your eyes open for them, too, just the same. I'm suspicious of them.
I tell you, we ain't got to worry about them. Yeah. The posse started shooting again.
Yeah, maybe we better get out of here, Corey.
Get out of here, nothing. We'll stay and shoot it out with the buzzard. I ain't gonna let no blasted sheriff's posse start me running. Give him as good a nice send, boys.
Hey, Corey.
Like this, Cisco.
Not much farther, Pancho. I want to get to the top of the bluff so we can look down on those hombres.
They got a guard at the top of the bluff?
Perhaps, but I do not think he will be expecting anyone from this direction.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. There he is, Pancho.
There he is.
He's watching the other bandidos fire on that posse. Now, this time, Pancho, be sure and make no noise.
And Pancho not even breathe this time, Cisco.
All right, come behind me. I'll try to overpower that guard.
See, Cisco. Almost there, Cisco.
Shh, Pancho. Now we will see.
He go to sleep, Cisco.
See, si, tie him, Pancho. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, I will see what is going on.
Pancho, look too, Cisco. Cisco, Cisco.
What is the matter?
Look, hombre by the tree. Hombre look just like Cisco.
That one there?
See, si. Look enough like Cisco's brother to be Cisco's brother, Cisco.
That is not quite the expression, Chico, but it will do. See, si, he does look something like me. Probably he is the bandido Senor Hannibal saw.
Yeah. Pancho got the bandido tied, Cisco. Now what?
There's only one thing to do, Pancho. We must get down there and put a stop to that shooting. Mm-hmm. Unless we do, some of the posse may be hidden and killed.
Which hombre you take, Cisco?
Come on, you hombres. Keep up that shooting.
I will take the one who just gave that order.
Pancho take the one that looks like Cisco. And Pancho rope him.
Very well. And come on over here. We can drop down on him. They'll be taken by surprise.
Cisco, they weren't ready.
Right now, Pancho.
Right, boy, I send you.
Pancho, get this hombre, Cisco, and rub his arms, no?
Boy, you sidewinder. I'll teach you to jump me like that.
We'll see about the teaching, hombre.
That
will
you
not... may be the one to learn.
Hey, boys.
Do you no good to call for them, for
no.
You are going to lose interest in them, hombre, right now.
Look out, Cisco. Or the bandidos come after you.
See, Pancho. That is far enough, bandidos. Stand where you are and drop those guns.
Hombre, shoot, Cisco.
He will think twice about shooting next time. All right, you are not hurt. I only shot the gun out of your hand. Drop your guns. Pronto. All right, say you, Sheriff. Come up here.
Be right there. Yeah. Well, I'll be jiggered.
Take a look at that hombre over there, Sheriff.
Well, say, he... Well, I'll be a maverick if he ain't the spitting image of you, stranger.
You think now there might have been a mistake, Sheriff?
Yeah, I can see where it could happen.
Yeah.
Well, I'll look at what I've written down. We'll talk it over back in the office and see what these galoots got to say. But I do know one thing, stranger. I never saw such an all-fired fighting man as you are. Never.
Why were you right here to the payroll office, Cisco?
Because there is a matter that I want to have cleared up, Pancho.
Well, we catch the bandidos. We help the sheriff. And the sheriff know we not do the wrong thing. Why we not go away from here?
There is one other person we must see. I want to be sure that she is convinced that she made a mistake.
That the senorita would think you a bandido, Cisco.
See, and I want to convince her that she was wrong. Here's the payroll office for them.
Oh, look. Cisco goes to talk to the senorita. So he's sure he see her again.
You coming with me, Pancho?
No. Pancho know what happened when Cisco talked to the senorita. And Pancho stay out here with Loco.
Very well, Pancho. I'll only be a minute.
Cisco only be a minute, Loco. But, what Cisco do in that minute?
Yes?
I wanted to see you for a moment, senorita, before Pancho and I ride down.
Oh, yes. Cisco, I can't tell you how sorry I am that I told the sheriff you were the one who held up the payroll office.
That is why I stopped to see you, senorita. It is not always wise to draw conclusions too hastily. One may regret them later.
Oh, believe me, Cisco. I regret that mistake more than you know.
I know you do, senorita. Perhaps it is well that you mistook me for someone else.
Why, Cisco?
Well, for one thing, it gave me an excuse to come back to see you.
To correct the mistake, Cisco?
Si, senorita.
I'm sorry, Cisco. But you can understand now how I would make such a mistake.
Si, senorita.
Never having seen you before, where that bandit and you did look so much alike.
Say no more about it, please. The matter is forgotten, senorita. Now, suppose you tell me about yourself.
There's nothing to tell about me.
Oh, I cannot agree with that.
I've just lived here in Two Forks all my life. My father runs a store. I'm not interesting.
I cannot agree with that either.
Oh, you're just saying that, Cisco.
Indeed, I am not. You are very interesting. Also, very beautiful.
Well, thank you. Do you mind if I tell you something?
Not at all, senorita.
You're much better looking than he was.
Gracias.
Oh, much, Cisco. So much so that
That what, Senorita?
Well, I never thought I'd be as bold as this, but Cisco, I'm going to kiss you. Oh, Cisco.
Oh, Senorita. Hey, Pancho.
It's good to be out of that country.
See, but it was also good to see that country. Uh-huh. And do not forget, Pancho, we made a friend of the sheriff.
After he get all that gang, see?
If we ever ride this way again, that sheriff will make us welcome. Now, I will leave it to you, amigo. Which way will we ride?
Where the nearest cafe, Cisco?
Come to think of it, we have had no breakfast as yet this morning, Chico.
Pancho, not just come to think of it. Pancho think of it all the time, Cisco.
I believe this trail will take us to the next town and a cafe, Pancho.
Well, then we take this trail.
Good breakfast will do us both good.
See? In Pancho want a dark breakfast.
You want a dark breakfast?
A dark breakfast.
Well, I've never heard of a dark breakfast.
That's what Pancho wants, Cisco. Dark breakfast.
Just what is a dark breakfast, Pancho?
Pancho not know, Cisco.
Well, then?
But Pancho have a light supper last night.
Light supper?
See, and Pancho still hungry afterwards, so this morning, Pancho want a dark breakfast.
Oh, Pancho!
Oh, Cisco!
And so ends another exciting adventure with O. Henry's famous Robin Hood of the West, the Cisco Kid. Be sure to listen again for another thrilling adventure of The Cisco Kid. Cisco Kid was played by Jack Mather, Pancho by Harry Lang.
What a great episode. You just heard the Cisco Kid episode, Murder at the Payroll Office, which was first heard in transcribed syndication on October 26, 1954. I have to say that although the story revolved around a simple case of mistaken identity, it was very interesting and creatively written. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today. I encourage you to send me your thoughts and suggestions. My email address is opr@telus.net, or you may write me at Old Parlor Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week.